Hello and welcome back to my channel. This is the second part of my previous video where I explained an alternative view of human history and our place within it. If you haven't seen part one, there's a link in the description below. In this video, I'll go over what I refer to as the dual timelines, and then I'll share some additional thoughts. Now that you're familiar with the timeline I explained in part one, we're going to use a more simplified version for this video. You'll see that I'm throwing out a second resurrection date of 1820, but the exact date has not yet been confirmed. So to begin, I believe that it's been easy for the enemy to deceive us about anything on the before Christ or BC timeline, because conveniently nothing is ever dated from this period. The people did not keep track of the year because there was really no anchor point. We can be told pretty much anything about artifacts from this time. I believe that the practice of keeping track of the year truly began in year one of the millennial kingdom. I believe this is the true meaning of AD, or the Latin phrase Anno Domini, which means in the year of the Lord. There's usually some variation of this phrase in old books and manuscripts. Because of the large amount of dated artifacts that have survived from the millennial kingdom, Satan has had to provide many cover stories for all of the evidence he couldn't destroy. He has told us that the phrase Anno Domini, or in the year of the Lord, means from the birth of Jesus. However, I believe that the true year one is the beginning of Jesus' kingdom here on earth. Since this period would last just 1,000 literal years, there was a reason to keep track of time, as you could say it serves as a countdown. During the kingdom, a three-digit dating system was used, usually preceded by the letter I. It is believed that this letter I stands for Isus or Jesus, which means Jesus in Greek and Latin. There seems to be several other variations of the spelling and pronunciation of Jesus' name just within Latin alone, as well as other languages. Sometimes there are other characters that precede the three-digit date, such as a J or lowercase I, as well as unfamiliar characters that may be derived from Greek, Aramaic, or Hebrew. One of the best ways I've found for finding examples of a non-numeric character in the year is by looking at genuine coins that have survived from the millennial kingdom. Here we have a coin that we would be told is from the year 1621. However, we see that the character in the first digit is different from the numeral 1 in the last digit, and therefore we can conclude that the first digit is not a numeral 1. Here we have another coin that we would be told is from the year 1700, but obviously the character in the first digit does not resemble a numeral 1, and there is a large space separating it from the three-digit year. We can deduce that this coin is not from 1700, but the year 700 of the kingdom. Here we have another more subtle example, but we can see that the relief of the letter I in the date is more refined and congruent with the other letters, while the numerals are more consistent with each other. Again, we would be told that this artifact is from 1890, but I would determine the date on this coin reads I-890, meaning year 890 of the Kingdom of Jesus. There are many more examples, and you'll have no trouble finding your own. It's one of those things where once you see it, you can't unsee it. Dating coins and other artifacts can be tricky, because beginning around the so-called 1800s, we begin to see artifacts that have been created by the enemy with a genuine numeral 1 in the first digit of the date. This is around the time that Satan was released from his prison and began the timeline deception. He began inserting false dates into all kinds of objects, including backdating inscriptions in books, on monuments and architecture, various works of art, and more. How exactly he pulled this off, I couldn't easily tell you. Lastly, one final example. If we had an object or event that was dated with the number 1900, that would be over here on the timeline, in our little season. But if we found an object that was dated I-900, that would actually fall back here, in the late kingdom. Conversely, if we have a pre-reset date such as 1500, that is generally the same year as I-500. If it seems a little confusing, well, it was meant to be, but you'll get the hang of it. In addition to the numeric dating system, The year was also commonly denoted in what we call Roman numerals. I have a feeling that perhaps Roman numerals are to be interpreted a little differently than what we've been told, but that's not something I'll be investigating right now. If you're someone who researches these sorts of things, then you're aware of what is regarded as the 1,000 years of added history that's been injected into our timeline. In all actuality, it appears to be about 800 to 850 years. I believe the entire reason that Satan has added approximately 800 years into our timeline is to once again provide a cover story for the things he couldn't destroy. As I showed just a couple examples of, there are innumerable artifacts that have the letter I or J preceding the year. We are told that an artifact dated I-500 would be the year 1500, but by doing so, a lot of fake and exaggerated history will need to be added in. This is all in a huge effort to hide the millennial kingdom from the people of our time. The more you learn about the true nature of our past, the more profoundly obvious it is that Jesus Christ is the ultimate truth, and it would definitely be a lot harder to go out and deceive the nations if we all understood we were riding off the coattails of Christ's kingdom. So with that being said, I believe that we're actually in approximately the year 1200. A more precise date can only be pinpointed by figuring out the exact year in the false timeline that the so-called reset took place. If year one truly begins with the start of the millennial kingdom, then 1,000 years have passed, plus the 200 or so years that we are already into the little season, putting us in approximately the year 1200. If we were to continue to base time off of the birth of Christ, then you would just add 70 years. This is how I see things for now, and I hope this helps you understand the dating system and how the two timelines relate to each other. Now I'm going to go through some additional thoughts and questions. In part one, I said that the saints go up to heaven at the end of the kingdom. I said this to keep things simple at the time, but I actually think that this may not be the case. The Bible states that the armies will surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city, indicating that they're here on earth somewhere. Perhaps the camp of the saints is located in a region we aren't allowed to explore. In part one, I talked about the second resurrection and how those who took part in it were simply referred to as the rest of the dead. I'm going to describe this part in just a little more detail. I believe that these people lived before Christ was ever born, therefore they did not get the chance to make the choice of whether to accept or reject Christ. Accepting Christ is the only way to be grafted back into the spirit realm. It is an indelible law of the universe. So these people who lived in the time before Christ had to be resurrected and given the chance to make this choice. This is the only logical theory that I've been able to surmise. It is my personal opinion that no one alive at this current time is part of that group. But then again, who knows? I haven't found anything in the Bible so far that indicates where the mortals at the end of the millennial kingdom go. One might assume that they keep on living into the little season, just as those who survived the tribulation kept on living as normal into the kingdom. But on the contrary, the early historical evidence often seems to point to the idea that the new people completely replace the old people. However, it seems like there would be no continuity at all if one group was completely swapped out for another. Again, I'm honestly not clear on what exactly happened during the transition at the end of the kingdom. As we re-examine this period in time, I know that many Protestants will take issue with the depiction of the Catholic Church and the iconography associated with it. Since I became a Christian, which was in my adult life, I formulated the opinion that Catholicism was some sort of bizarre mixture between Christianity and paganism, and that many of these practices and beliefs were not biblical. I was also simultaneously perplexed as to how this belief system that supposedly had it all wrong created all of the most beautiful cathedrals and artwork. I was disappointed that all of the best works of art and architecture had to be off limits to me. However, I have completely changed my mind about that as I've gained a higher understanding of our past. I have separated the reputation of the modern-day Catholic Church from what was actually the evolution of Christendom through the messianic reign of Jesus Christ himself. The Catholic Church, or whatever it may have been called during that time, appears to be the most prestigious wing of the governmental system during the kingdom. Its higher offices, if not all of its offices, appear to be occupied by saints. It is the antithesis to the idea of separation of church and state. Furthermore, the belief systems of Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy both incorporate the new class of beings, the saints, who are the very first of their kind. They're like our big brothers and sisters who graduated before us, and they've played a part in this world ever since. These belief systems that were developed during the millennial kingdom give us insight on how they play a role in our lives. The saints did not yet exist in the times of the Old and New Testament, so that's why there's nothing in there about them as different spiritual entities. The timeline deception has created a chasm between two sides of the same coin. As Christians, we know to be very careful with the spirit realm, so I'm not saying to jump straight into anything. But after discovering the true nature of our past, I have naturally begun to fall in line with what is generally considered to be Catholicism. Conversely, if you already subscribe to the general ideas of Catholicism, then with this new revelation, you're likely going to understand your own beliefs and where they come from on a much deeper level. You will see that the millennial kingdom is rife with symbolism that you may find off-putting. However, I have begun to re-examine these things and be open-minded to the idea that they meant something else entirely, or that the characters may not be guilty of their crimes. During the time that we live in, or the little season, many of God's holy symbols and institutions have been usurped by the enemy, and thus their reputations have been sullied. I have begun to make the distinction that they had a different meaning within God's kingdom, and now have the opposite connotation within the little season. Lastly, one of the biggest questions that you may have is why are the so-called Greek gods omnipresent throughout a Christian empire? I have some theories on how they fit in, and I'm looking forward to making videos about this in the near future. I don't want to spoil the fun, but know that I'll be addressing this question soon. So now that we have a good foundation laid, I'm looking forward to covering a range of topics from this perspective. I hope to share the millennial kingdom with you, as during the onset of our new abnormal, I have found solace in exploring Tartaria. By gaining a deeper understanding of our past, I constantly learn new things about God, the spirit realm, and our true nature as human beings. I believe that all of the incredible works of art and architecture created during this time were not only for the people of the kingdom, but for the people of our time too. Furthermore, it gives us a glimpse into the aesthetical tastes of God Himself, and gives us a sneak peek into the splendor of what we will be building and exploring on the new earth. In my opinion, this is a wonderful place to focus our truth-seeking inclinations, for the world at large will always be nonsensical and upside down until the last day. Thanks for watching.